remembering 9/11, the pain of watching the aircraft ram into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon, the horror of knowing that right before my eyes there on television, thousands of people, men and women, people whom I did not know but yet children of God, were dying simply because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time. I remember the anger that surged within me. Especially the moment when I heard it confirmed who claimed to have done it and that they were bragging about having done it. And the words that came out of my mouth when I heard that and the anger that empowered it was, nuke them. Nuke them back to the Stone Age and the camel they rode in on. I was mad. I wanted a pound of flesh. I wanted justice. But I was wrong. Nuking isn't the answer. You nuke potatoes and pizza and popcorn, not people. Nuking isn't the answer. The anger, the pain, the horror, the resentment. The longer it's held on to, the longer the anger that the violation has to eat away at our souls, the more damage it does. That's the way it is with all sin. Sin's damage, sin's horrible penalty is not just for the moment that it happens. It's not just the exact time that sins are perpetrated against us that's so horrible. It's the lingering after effect. The pain, the anger, the hurt, the sense of violation and vulnerability that comes with the sin and its aftermath that lingers days, weeks, months, years, decades. Sin and what sin does to us is infectious and evil. Now, sin is a three-letter word that we don't like to hear much about these days. We talk about illness. We talk about disorder. Sin just seems a little bit simple. The word in Greek for sin, I talked about it, is missing the mark, harmartia, to miss the mark, to fall short. It's an archery term. You take a bow and an arrow, and you take aim, and you let the arrow go, but you're so much, so weak, so much of a failure, so incapable of hitting that target, your arrow falls short. It lands in the ground. It's missing the mark of God's will for us. Sin is a very powerful thing. And its after effects are horrific. We have today in the story from the Gospel of St. Matthew a beautiful illustration that Jesus gives us for how we are called to forgive. And of course, it does depend upon your translation. It's either 70 times 7 or 77 times. I almost prefer 70 times 7 because that's a heck of a lot more, isn't it? Makes it obvious that it's impossible to forgive too much or too many times. You are to never stop forgiving. You are always to be a forgiving people. That's what Jesus is saying. Not just 7 times, but 77 times, 70 times 7 times. Eternally forgiving. And he tells the story of the two servants. One servant owed the master the equivalent of billions and billions of dollars. And he can't repay it. It's not in his ability to repay. And so, when he's called to repay it, he says, I can't. And he says, we're going to throw you into prison if you don't pay. Oh, master, please, just give me a little bit of time and I will repay. And the master, forgives the man, the servant, his debt. All the billions of dollars worth. He forgives him. And then that servant goes out and sees another servant owes him a couple of $100. And he grabs him by the neck and he chokes him and he says, "Repay me what you owe me. Oh, please, just give me a little time and I will repay you." "No, if you're not going to repay me now, off to prison with you and your family." Some of the other servants went and told the master what the first servant had done. And the master called in the first servant and said, "You wicked slave, I forgave you so much and you refuse to forgive little. I'm going to heap back on you all of your debt and send you into prison until you repay all of it." The warning is clear. The warning comes in those red words that come from Jesus, my friends. This is Jesus speaking, not Paul, not some interpreter, not some interpretation. This is Jesus. You are to forgive as you have been forgiven. Remember the Lord's Prayer. We pray it every week. "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." That trespasses kind of makes the idea a little distant. What they mean is sins. As we forgive those who have sinned against us. In other words, if we refuse to be a forgiving people, if we refuse to forgive, we better not expect our sins to be forgiven. "Well, I don't like that. I thought Jesus died for the sins of the whole world." You better believe he did. Jesus died for the sins of Osama bin Laden. "No, I don't like that." Sorry, it's what the gospel says. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. That's the good news, by the way, because Jesus died for the sins of Osama bin Laden. We can be assured that Jesus died for our sins, too. But just because Jesus died for those sins and paid the full price for them doesn't mean that we can cavalierly say, "I don't have to forgive. Sorry, 70 times 7. Sorry, 77 times. Sorry, you've got to forgive. You've got to forgive." "Well, I don't want to forgive. I want to nuke them. I want justice." Oh, really? You know the difference between justice, mercy, and grace? Justice is you're speeding down the highway, going 65 miles per hour in a 50 mile per hour work zone, and the cop pulls you over and gives you a ticket. That's justice. Mercy is you're speeding down the highway, going 65 miles per hour in a 50 mile per hour work zone, and the cop pulls you over and gives you a warning. That's mercy. Grace is you're speeding down the road going 65 miles per hour in a school zone, and the cop pulls you over and gives you $100. That's grace. That's grace. You certainly deserve that ticket. Heck, you deserve being hauled off to jail for that. Lose your license. Mercy is, here's a warning. Justice is, here's your ticket. Sign it. Grace is, here's $100. We want grace for us and justice for everybody else. Oh, we might agree to mercy, maybe. But we want grace for us and justice for everybody else. Let's be honest. We want them nuked. Oh, Greg, this story that Jesus tells, it's great. It's for application within the church. It's for the living that we have as Christians, one to the other. That's hard enough, friends. You got angry with somebody sitting in another seat in this sanctuary. There are people today who are angry with other members of the church. Jesus says, forgive. Well, I don't want to. Jesus says, forgive. But I want justice. Jesus said, forgive. It's hard enough in the church. It's hard enough in your family. It's hard enough in your daily living. You know what they've done to you. You felt it. You don't want them to do it to you again. Well, guess what? Protect yourself, but forgive. If you don't, my brothers and sisters, if you don't forgive, the anger, the pain, the resentment will eat you alive. If you don't forgive, if you refuse to forgive, if you hang on to it and you pet the sin that's been committed against you and you hold it close to yourself and say, I like being angry about this sin. I like holding this sin over someone. I like it so much, I don't want to let go of it. I just want it to have it close to me. It's going to eat you, destroy you, infect you. It's going to kill your soul. Forgiving, first and foremost, protects us from allowing the hurt done by another to keep on hurting us. Well, I want justice. That's God's job. I want justice. That's up to God, isn't it? Well, I want justice. Yes, that's God's job. We have been given grace. We have received that which we don't deserve, the unmerited, unearned favor of God. We don't merit it. We don't earn it. We can't earn it. God just gives it to us because we need it freely. Like the first servant. How dare we refuse to forgive our sister or our brother? Okay, Greg, that's easy. All right, I think I can get my brain around this business about being called to forgive within the family of God, about being called to forgive in our daily interactions, in our daily life. But this is 9/11. You began by saying you wanted them nuked. Yeah, I did. And I was wrong. No. Yes, protect the country. Yes, defend our children. Yes, make sure it doesn't happen again. But if we hold the pain, if we hold the anger, if we hold the resentment, if we hold it all too close to ourselves for too long, it's going to destroy us. We must let it go and let God take charge. We must let it go and turn it over to God, who metes out grace and justice, mercy and love. Well, that may mean that one of those who did this might get mercy or grace. Yeah, it might. I'm reminded of Pope John Paul II. Remember the fellow who tried to murder him? Shot him there in St. Peter's Square? You know, the Pope went and gave pastoral care to that man, prayed with him, and forgave him, knowing that it might mean that the fella wouldn't burn for eternity for what he did. Wow. Wow. The hardest thing I've had to do. The hardest thing I've had to do in connection with all this is pray for those who committed it, that God that God might be with them and that God's will would be done. My brothers and sisters, we as a nation, we as a people, we as a community of faith, we as a people called Christian, must be about forgiving. We must be about proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the grace and peace of Jesus, the good news that Jesus died for all. And yes, all did include Osama bin Laden. Jesus died for you and me, and for that to have any meaning at all, he died for everyone. How can we be like the first servant? We must also forgive. And the first step in that is letting go of the anger, the pain, the resentment, the fury, the demand for retribution and vengeance. That's God's job, friends. Justice is God's job. We're to be proclaiming the grace and peace, the love of God, the love of Jesus for all. We're to be a light shining on a hill that others might see and know that Jesus loves them. Jesus loves them. This we know, for the Bible tells us so. Jesus loves all. My brothers and sisters, we are called to forgive. Let us let go and let God take from us all the pain, all the hurt, all the anger, and replace it with joy and peace, hope, and thanksgiving for the love and presence of Almighty God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2011 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.